Thank you for listening to our Bayshore Rehoboth podcast. We always love to hear stories about how Bayshore is helping to have an impact in your life. We would love for you to take just a moment and send us an email at amen@bayshorecc.org. Also, be sure to stop by our website at bayshorecc.org to find out all kinds of information, including past messages, videos, pictures, links to social media, and an opportunity to give online. Thanks again for joining us, and prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, what's up, 9 a.m.? How y'all feeling? Woo! Hey, we're just trying to get you ready for what may happen at your Thanksgiving later this week, right? And by the way, if pink leg juice shows up on your plate, like if that shows up on your little Thanksgiving paper plate, you know, with the dividers, don't do it, man. That is not a blessing right there. Hey, speaking of Thanksgiving fails, do you know what is not a Thanksgiving fail? Walking into church and somebody handing you a Krispy Kreme donut. Come on, somebody. Woo! Who ate a donut? Who ate one? All right, I hand a lot of you donuts. Who did not eat a donut? You were good and you did not eat a donut. The rest of us are judging you right now. Hey, I'm super excited that you're here. And if you are new around here, my name is Joel, and we are so honored that you would choose to spend an hour out of your weekend with us. Now, maybe you didn't choose to spend an hour with us. Maybe you had a friend who tricked you into coming to church today, and they like said, hey, why don't you get in the car with me? And the next thing you know, you're in a basement church. Somebody's handing you a donut, and you and your friend aren't talking anymore, okay? I don't know how you made your way here, but however you got here, whether you're glad to be here or not, we are so glad that you're hanging out with us. And and if you happen to be watching us online, welcome to church. We're so glad you're with us. Now, guys, our online family, they're a little sad right now because they did not get Krispy Kreme donuts. But more than half of you all did, and so I need you all to use your sugar energy, show them a little love right now, and cheer them up. So let's just give it up for online family. Woo! Love it. Guys, I love that last song that we just played, that Waymaker song. I'd never heard that song, and then they were doing rehearsal this morning and doing run-through, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like I'm sticking around for the 10:30 for sure to hear that one again. That was a good one. Such a good song. But hey, if you've just been kind of like joining us and this is your first time with us, or maybe you've been not part of this series, we're talking about being simply blessed, and we've talked about this all month long. And the goal is just to help us all see all the simple blessings that we have in our life. And I've had a ton of fun with this series. I hope you've had some fun seeing these simple blessings in your life. Like, have you had fun, or has this helped anybody other than our staff? I'll make them say yes to this. I've had a ton of fun with this series. And so today, on week four of this whole thing, we're going to talk about the blessing thief. The blessing bandit, because there is something that wants to rob you from seeing all those simple blessings in your life. Something wants to rob you from that. And so if you're sitting near somebody, just turn that to them and say, if you try to church rob me, I will church chop you. Some of you did the hand motions. I appreciated that. So to kick us off today, a lot of you know that I'm a little obsessed with the Ravens right now. Woo! Just a little obsessed, okay? I may or may not have Googled our quarterback's home address the other day so we could hang. Don't worry, I couldn't find it. Me and Lamar will not be having Thanksgiving dinner together. But I love the Ravens right now, but I'm kind of curious what sort of sports we're all into in the room. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to say some different sports. And if you're into those sports, you just let me know. You shout me down, you raise your hand, whatever you got to do, throw a hanky, whatever. Let me know if you're into these sports. So we're going to start with the greatest sport, my favorite sport, obviously, football. Who is into some football in the room? Oh, yeah, it's good. Some football fans. What about this? Any basketball fans? Anybody into basketball? Woo! We got Darryl. We got two-ish, three. Darryl, hanging on, man. There's more than just you, probably. Now, I'm going to combine the napping sports. Who's into NASCAR and or golf? Anybody into NASCAR and or golf? Oh, wow. I'm not judging that, but to me, it's like visual NyQuil. It's good. It's a good napper. What about any hockey fans in the room? We got any hockey fans? Oh, look at hockey fans. Look, I got a strict rule in life. I do not mess with hockey people. You all are scary, all right? I'm just saying. I will say this. I don't really get hockey. When I was a kid growing up, I was taught if you see grown men with sticks and masks, you ran. Okay, that's what you did. Doesn't sound like a fun game to me, but I'm just, anyway. All right, last one. Is anybody into baseball? Any baseball fans? Look at that. Maybe not the most people, but maybe the most excited people in the room with baseball. Any Orioles fans? If you're like had to pick a team, Orioles fans? Okay, that's good. Some of you are like, I am, but I'm not, I'm ashamed right now. I'm just ashamed. So I haven't really watched baseball in a long time. Okay, probably decades, really. But when I was a kid growing up, I loved to watch the Orioles. And in our house, we had a 19-inch RCA, way below standard definition TV with the faux wood grain paneling on the side. Come on, you guys remember what I'm talking about? And I used to turn that thing on to Home Team Sports and watch the O's all the time. I love watching the Orioles. Now, when I was about 5 years old, my dad asked me, he was like, hey, Joel, do you want to go with me to go see the Orioles play in Memorial Stadium? And I made the worst decision of my five-year-old life. I was like, nah, Dad, I don't really think I want to go watch the game. I'm going to just sit here and watch it on this here tube TV. To this day, I don't know why I said no, okay? I didn't have anything else to do. I was 5 years old living in Gumber, okay? Nothing else to do. But I was like, and my dad tried to convince me to go. He's like, Joel, if we go, we'll get to see the stadium. We'll get to see Cal. We'll get to see Baltimore. Okay, like we'll get to see the whole deal. And I, for whatever reason, I was like, nah, I am not down to get out of town. So I did not go to the game. But my brother and my dad went to the game, and I stayed home and watched it on the 19-inch RCA, way below standard definition TV while my brother and my dad were at the game. And in my mind, my five-year-old mind, I thought, they are the ones who missed out. Because I'm watching this game here on the little 19-inch right now, the tube TV. And so I remember when they came home, and I could tell you exactly where I was standing. They came home, and I thought, oh, they missed out because I watched the game right here in standard definition, way less than that, actually. And my brother came in all excited about the game. And he's like, Joel, we saw Cal. And I'm like, psh. He's like, Joel, we saw the stadium. I'm like, psh. And then he's like, Joel, Dad bought me a hot dog. And I'm like, what? My parents will verify this is true, okay? I was like, nobody told me there was a hot dog at the stadium. And all of a sudden, I felt like I missed out. Okay, I didn't care that I didn't get to see the stadium. I didn't care that I didn't get to see Cal play, who's played more consecutive games than any other player in the history of the game. I was upset because I didn't get a hot dog, people. And so five-year-old Joel, I was crying. And so just picture a little five-year-old Joel, which is about the size of a little 36-year-old Joel, okay? And I'm crying because Tim got something that I didn't get to get, and I felt like I was missing out. And here's the thing. I got over that feeling. It took me a while, but I got over it. But I don't feel like I've ever really gotten past the feeling of missing out. And whether you're 5 or 36 years old, if I find or see somebody that has something that I don't have, I can still feel like I'm missing out. Am I the only one? And listen, the feeling of missing out, that's the blessing thief. And the blessing thief makes us think like, well, if I will be happy and content if I just had their blessings. I can't be happy and content with my blessings because I don't have what they have. And in other words, if I just had their hot dog, then maybe I'll be happy, then I will be content. Let's get more real life. If we just had a relationship, a marriage like their marriage, because you know they're always doing like the PDA stuff, posting on each other's Facebook pages, you know? But if we just had that, then maybe I'll be happy, maybe I'll be content. Some of you are those people, some of you know those people. If we just had kids that behaved like their kids, hello, then maybe we would be happy and content then. Okay, if I could just eat Krispy Kreme donuts and still look like the Cotter Johnston, then maybe I'll be happy and content then. And listen, sometimes I don't see my blessings because all I see are your blessings. Am I talking to anybody today? Sometimes I don't always see my blessings because all I see are your blessings. And guys, nothing will rob our happiness and contentment like not seeing your blessings and only seeing their blessings. That's the blessing thief, church. And so today, we're going to talk about getting rid of the feeling of I'm missing out and getting some contentment in our life. And when I say contentment, I'm not saying like, oh man, like contentment doesn't mean I have a perfect life. I got the perfect dog. I got the perfect job. I got the perfect 2.1 kids. Okay, no. Contentment has nothing to do with how good or not good our life is. I know this because, full disclosure, I have an amazing life. I love my life. I love my wife. My wife is amazing, okay? She's amazing and she's beautiful. She's good, man. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my dog that is too lazy to get up off the couch and greet me at the door. I love my football team. Praise the Lord. Like, I have an amazing life. But how many of you know that the fight for contentment doesn't just happen when we're in the valley and we want to be on the mountain? Sometimes we're on the mountain and we're happy, but we look over and we see our friend's mountain. And their mountain's just a little bit taller. It's just a little bit bigger. It's got a little more hair on the top of their mountain. And we think, I was happy until I saw where they're at, until I saw what they have. And so contentment has nothing to do with how good our life is or isn't. Contentment has everything to do with where we're looking. Now, I know this because it happened 2 weeks ago in our family minivan. Now, me and my wife, Stacy, we're not car people. Cars are not that big of a deal to us. My wife drives a 2012 Toyota Sienna. And there's nothing wrong with minivans. Where are the minivan people at? Who drives a minivan or like knows somebody who drives a minivan? There's only like five people who drive a minivan. Minivans they're great, right?
Yeah. DVD players.
Listen, minivans are great, but nobody has a tattoo of their minivan on them, right? Well, I drive a 12-year-old Honda Civic with 155,000 miles on it. Now, I love it, but I have not posted about my Honda Civic on Facebook in a while. At least 11 years, maybe 12. I don't know, like a long time. And both me and Stacy's cars have dents in them. My car has a dent in every door because my kids like to ride their bikes into my car. My wife, Stacy, has a dent in every door of her van for different reasons, okay? You'll catch that later. Anyway, but we don't care. We're not like car people. But the other day, Stacy was like, I wonder how much Teslas cost. And she started looking at Tesla's website, and we're driving down Route 24 in our dented up minivan that's fry infested, got trash all over the inside of it from our kids. And Stacy's looking at Tesla's website, and she's like, oh, honey, these look good. She's like, what color do you think we should get? You think we should get black? Oh, they take Apple Pay. I'm like, oh, Jesus, take the wheel, please. And she was happy with her van until she saw Tesla's website, okay? And she's like, look at the plug on that Tesla. Like, this is good. Like, I like this. We need a Tesla in the family. And has that ever happened to you where you see something and all of a sudden, like, you think, well, I was content, but then I saw that. I'd be content if I had that. I'd be content if I were where they are in life. But what if we've caught the wrong thought when it comes to contentment? What if we can be happy and content wherever we are in life? And the reason I say that is because there's a guy in here named Paul, and Paul wrote the contentment instruction manual from a prison cell, which I don't know about you, but like that's not where I think you would write the contentment instruction manual from a prison cell. And I don't think Paul is saying, hey, I'm so content with prison. I don't think Paul is saying, oh, you know what I'm content with? I'm content with ancient Roman prison food. Like, that is where it's at. I don't think Paul is saying I'm content with it. Let me show you what Paul says. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. Paul says this, and he's writing from a jail cell. Remember that. He says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret, and we'll come back to that. of being content. Now, help me out with this word. In any and every situation. Wait, with any and every situation or in?
In.
Okay, in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, let's pause there. The reason I say that I think we've caught the wrong thought when it comes to contentment is a lot of times we think, well, the Bible says I got to be content with my situation. And Paul's like, no. I'm saying be content in it. It's not with it. It's in it. Everybody say, it's not with it. It's in it. Which means it's okay to want more for your marriage. It's okay to want more for your kids. It's okay to want more for your job. It's okay to want more for your car that when you put down your windows, the headliner is flapping in the wind. It's okay to want more for that. Actually, I hope you want more for your marriage and your job and your kids and your car that's headliner is flapping in the wind like this. Paul's like, listen, you can want more with your situation and still find joy in your situation. It's not with it. It's in it. And you know what I love about phrases like that? You can tweet them. We could put that on a hat and sell it. It's not with it. It's in it. But tweet-worthy lines don't always make us feel better when we're at the doctor's office and the doctor comes in and you're getting a sonogram of your unborn child and the doctor comes in and says, your son has two cysts on his brain, which is what we found out when we were pregnant with our son, Nixon. A cute church tweet-worthy line didn't make me feel better when we were sitting in Christiana Hospital getting genetic counseling, and they're saying your unborn son could be born with a chromosome disorder, and some people with a chromosome disorder do not grow up to be an adult. Like, how are we content in that situation? Because I want something real then. I don't want something you can tweet, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, what's the secret to contentment in that situation? And I think Paul tells us the secret just two verses before what we just read. And so let's throw up verse 9. And this is what Paul says. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, what's it say? Put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, if you kind of checked out, or if you're like kind of like just daydreaming, like, are there going to be donuts after church too? Like, yes, I think there will be, but come back to me. But here's what I think God wants some of us to hear, and we'll put this on the screen. Stop chasing contentment, practice it. Stop chasing contentment, practice it. Listen, contentment isn't a chase. It's not their life. It's not their Tesla. It's not love. Okay, contentment is a mindset that we got to practice to get good at. It's a mindset that we got to practice to get good at. And so you can be content in your situation, but it's going to take practice. Everybody say practice. Practice. All right, now, I want to know how many of you in the room play an instrument of some sort, you know, guitar, drums, flutophone, anything, whatever. You play an instrument? Guitar here does not count, all right? Okay, some people do. Okay, I just need some people to tell me what you play. Just, I'm curious. You raise your hand.
I'm trying to learn how to play harmonica.
There you go. Harmonica. I like that. We don't have a harmonica person on the team, so I'm just saying. Logan, you raise your hand.
Clarinet.
Didn't you play the clarinet, Andy? No. Okay. You're not. All right. Clarinet. Okay. So some of you all play an instrument. So when I was in third grade, my parents made me play the saxophone. Now, I was not pumped on the saxophone in third grade. And if you're a saxophone player, okay, no offense, I just was not like down with Kenny G in third grade. And so when I turned 12 years old at Christmas, I wanted to switch things up. And I was like, hey, Mom and Dad, can I get like an electric guitar for Christmas? And my poor parents got me an electric guitar for Christmas. Some of you parents should have moaned at that moment. Like, you should know. Listen, you don't get your 12-year-old an electric guitar with an amplifier when he's into punk rock music. That is not a blessing, all right? That's not a blessing at all. But I loved it because I got it. And so I got like an electric guitar kit. And it came with a VHS practice tape. VHS, baby. Be kind, please rewind, all right? And if you've ever tried to play the guitar, when you start to try to play the guitar, your fingers don't listen to you. You're looking at them, and you're like, press down, and it won't press down. It doesn't do what you want it to do. And your tippies of your fingers hurt really bad, especially if you have soft hands like Pastor Joel, okay? So, but I would just sit in front of this VHS tape, and I would practice for like hours and days and weeks, just practicing over and over and over again. And eventually, my fingers started to do what I wanted them to do. Eventually, I got little calluses on the ends of my fingers. And eventually, it became natural to just like pick it up and get my fingers to do what I wanted them to do. Now, I don't play the guitar anymore. I haven't played the guitar in years, decades, okay? But because I practice all that time, I can pick up a guitar and I can naturally just play a few little chords. Now, I'm no Bo Stinking Dukes, but I can play some chords. You guys want me to show you? Yeah. Let me show you? Yeah. Will you judge me? Yeah. I heard a yes. Somebody said yes. Who said yes? Hey, honesty is good, man, right? All right, I'm no good here, but I practice a lot. So all you need to do, if you ever play worship music, you only need to know four chords, G, C, D, and E. Okay, that's all you got. The whole band is watching me right now. Josh is smiling. I do not like this. But here we go. Here's a G. Here's a C. Here's a D. Yeah, it's all right. Okay, I'm done. Don't worry. Bo Stinking Dukes will be back next week, okay? But I did that because it was not natural for me to do that when I first started playing, but I practiced over and over and over again, and now, after not playing for decades, I can pick it up, and I can play a G chord, a C chord, a D chord, an E chord, and here's the point. It took practice to make what was unnatural become natural. And I think what Paul is saying in here is, hey, naturally on your own, you're not going to make choices that are going to lead to contentment. But if you practice, you can be in a prison and you can write the contentment instruction manual. And so you can be content in your situation, but it's going to take practice. And so everybody just say this with me. Okay, we're going to practice. So put on our sweats. Who's going to wear sweats after Thanksgiving dinner? Anybody? You better believe it, I am, man. Okay, so I'm going to give you, for the remainder of the time, three ways that we can practice being content in the situation so that we're not robbed by the blessing thief. Three ways that we can practice. The first one is this. You have to practice the petition. Practice the petition. Now, my six-year-old Nora has very different dietary needs or desires than I had when I was her age, okay? My daughter Nora, she loves salads. She loves peas. She loves shepherd's pie, which I call, I would rather die, pie. Don't be inviting the pastor over for shepherd's pie, man. Don't do it. Not a fan. Anyway, but my six-year-old's favorite thing in the world to eat is guacamole. Now, listen, when I was six, nobody around here had even heard of an avocado. You know, kids these days are all like gluten-free, eating guac. And so if Nora is within 17 miles of a Chipotle, she'll be like, Dad, can we get guac? And I feel like I say yes to that question a lot. But apparently, like, by the way, my checkbook says that I say yes to that question a lot. But Nora apparently does not think I say yes to that question a lot, because a couple months ago we had her kindergarten orientation meeting at the school, and we had told her that afterwards we're going to take her to Chipotle to celebrate that, you know, she's going to be in kindergarten. And so we did the orientation, and then we were driving to Chipotle, and Nora's in the back, and she is happy in the back. And I know she should be happy because we're going to take her to Chipotle or whatever, but she's like even happier than I would think she would be. And so I was thinking like maybe something extra happened. Like maybe one of her friends gave their life to Jesus or something. I don't know what it is. And so she's super happy in the back. And so I was like, Nora, like, why are you so happy? And she said, I'm happy because I asked mommy if I could get guac, and mommy said yes. And the reason I didn't ask you is because I thought you would say no, Daddy. I'm like, girl, have you seen our checkbook? Like, I say yes a lot. And this week, independently, both of my kids have told me, Daddy, we ask mommy for things because she's going to say yes and you're probably going to say no. I'm like, you little turkeys, that's what you are, you kids. But I was thinking about that, and I was thinking that a lot of times I look at God like that. It doesn't matter how many good things that God does for me in my life. I think that whatever I ask him, his answer to me is probably just going to be no. And I think the reason that some of us think that is because we've misdefined what contentment is. And here's, we'll put this on the screen, Bill. A lot of us think contentment is believing for a no, so we're not disappointed when we want a yes and we don't get it. We think contentment is believing for a no, so that we're not disappointed when we want a yes and we don't get it. Guys, this is not contentment. That's called a lack of faith. That's called, well, I guess God's not good. I guess God's not able. Listen, this isn't contentment. This is complacency. And Paul isn't telling us, hey, just settle with your situation. He's saying, no. Ask in your situation. Don't believe for a no. Ask. And the reason I say ask is because look at verse 6. If we can throw that up on the screen. Paul says this from the prison cell. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and what's that word? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving. You got to throw that in on Thanksgiving week. You know, a little gobble, gobble, gobble. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Somebody say ask. Ask. He says prayer and petition. Now, we talk about prayer in church a lot, so let's just move past that. Let's talk about petition because we never talk about petition. What does petition mean? Well, according to Google, which Google's always right, okay, this is what petition means. To make or present a formal request to an authority with respect to a particular cause. So guys, contentment isn't settling with your situation. Contentment is realizing that there is somebody who has the power to make our lives better, and that somebody is not always us. And so don't hide what you want to ask God for from God. That's like playing the worst game of hide and seek ever, right? Like he already knows, right? Now, when I was a kid growing up, I loved hide and seek. It was my favorite game, loved hide and seek. Now, when I was growing up, I was not the smartest kid on the block. Don't all you act so shocked, okay? You're all like just sitting there like, yeah, okay, yeah, we know that. And so whenever we would play hide and seek, my dad would be it. And as a kid, I would be like, hey, Dad, can you put me on top of the washing machine? And he would put me on top of the washing machine. I'd say, now, Dad, can you close the door and then go count and see if you can find me? It's 100% true. Okay, I told you, wasn't the smartest kid on the block. But of course, he knew where I was. He put me there. And so don't hide what you want to ask God for because, guys, he put us here. And he's just saying, hey, would you just ask me? Would you just petition me? Why? Because when we realize that he's the authority, we start to have hope again, right? When we realize that he can say yes if he thinks that's best, that starts to give us hope again. And I wonder how many of us have started to lose hope because we've stopped asking God. And maybe, just maybe, God has sent a 5'9" balding man who drives a dented up Honda Civic to remind you to stop hiding from God and start hoping in God. Guys, he is the authority. And sometimes he might say yes. Come on, give me the high five for the yeses. I mean, that's good, right? But sometimes he may say no. And that's okay because when you know he's the authority, you're blessed with the yes and you trust the no. And so ask, practice the petition, practice the petition. Here's the second one, okay? After we practice the petition, we practice the pivot. Practice. Remember the pivot in basketball? Come on. Dar, you're the one pivot guy. Okay, you're the basketball guy. So practice the pivot. Now, let's go back to this. We got prison Paul. And Paul is in the clink. He is not denying that he's there, okay? So he's there, and he's showing us that no matter how bad things are, you don't have to focus on what you don't have. You can pivot and focus on whatever you do have. I call this pivot to the whatever. Everybody say pivot to the whatever. Okay, now who's wondering what the whatever is? Nobody. Okay, but I'm going to tell you what it is anyway. Okay, here's the whatevers. In verse 8, this is what we can pivot to. Paul said, and I'm going to need a lot of help with this. And so if you've been falling asleep, just come back to me. Every time we get to a highlighted word, you just say it out loud, okay? Finally, brothers and sisters,
whatever.
Is true.
Whatever.
Is noble.
Whatever.
Is right.
Whatever.
Is pure.
Whatever.
Is lovely.
Whatever.
Is admirable. If it is excellent or praiseworthy, what do we do with it?
Think about such things.
Listen, those are the whatevers. And I don't know what you feel like you're missing out on. I don't know what your weekend has been like. I don't know what your 2019 is like. But Paul is like, listen, you got to focus on the whatevers, people. If it's not true, noble, right, excellent, praiseworthy, if it's not those things, you got to pivot away from it. And so practice the pivot. Let me give you an example. 4 years ago, my car was 8 years old then. Still hadn't put any posts about it on Facebook in a while, okay? And I was driving my car down Route 24 in Long Neck, which, speaking of blessing, that road is not one of them, okay? Not a blessing on that road. And I noticed that my temperature gauge on my car was blinking. And so somebody who knew more about cars than me, which would literally be everybody on the planet, told me I needed to put coolant in my car. And so I put coolant in my car, and it just leaked out of the engine. Like, right, I put it in, it leaked out. And I'm like, I don't know much about cars, but I don't think that's what it's supposed to do. And so I took it to the mechanic, and I didn't think anything of it. And the next day, I got a call from the mechanic, and he's like, I don't know how to tell you this, but Mr. Tice, you have a cracked engine block. Now, I didn't know what that meant. So I was like, you think you can uncrack it? And he's like, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. He said, you need a new engine, which is like $5,000 to $6,000. So basically, I'm telling you, your Civic is total. Yeah. That was good timing. It's exactly how I felt, man. That wasn't even staged. I love it. I don't know who did that, but I will pay you money after the service. Listen, I had like a, look at my car, it was like basically total. I'm like, I'm having a panic attack, okay? I am losing my mind. So I call my wife, Stacy, who, my wife is amazing, and she is calm, and she is a spiritual person in our family. And so I call her, and I'm freaking out, and she's like, well, have you prayed about it, Pastor Joel? And I'm like, I see what you did there. So anyway, she said, Joel, let me help. Let's think about this. She said, think about this. Don't we have one good car still? And I was like, yeah, that's true. And she said, and we have an emergency fund. And so if you need to drive a little beater for a while, we can drive a beater. Isn't that true? And I'm like, yes. And she said, and hasn't God always taken care of us? And don't you think he's probably going to take care of us in this situation? And I'm like, would you stop it? But what I didn't know in the moment is that Stacy was helping me pivot to the whatevers. And it was not natural to think about those things at first, okay? I was not down with it, but I practiced it. I listened to my wife, which is always a good idea, fellas. And eventually I got content, but it was not natural. Now, then something supernatural happened in our situation, okay? We found out that with certain Civic engines, there was a recall. But your engine crack had to be at a certain place on the engine, okay, which guess where mine was? In that spot. But your car had to have less than 100,000 miles on that engine, which guess what mine had? 97,000 miles on it. And Honda put a brand new engine in my car for free. That is a true story. So get yourself a Honda is what I'm saying, people. Listen, I hesitated to share that last part because you may not always get the new engine. You may not always get the new engine. But there are always whatevers in your situation that you can pivot to. Because, okay, contentment is whatever. It is whatever you feed. It is whatever you think about. It is whatever you focus on, okay? Contentment isn't what you feel. Contentment is what you focus on and feed. And that takes practice. And Stacy helped me practice, so I'm going to help you all practice, okay? And so instead of saying, okay, my car is done, broke down, you can pivot and say, well, I'm breathing. Well, I have a phone and I can download the Uber app, people. Instead of saying, oh, look who's at Disneyland again on vacation, must be nice, you can pivot and say, honey, you want to look at some of our old vacation pictures? Wouldn't that be fun? Instead of saying, you know, oh, I'm still single, listen, you can pivot in your church seat. And you can say, hey, I don't know your name, but my name is Single. And I love Jesus, and I could love you if you would just ask me out, okay? Like, instead of saying, my life is bad, you can pivot and say, but my God is good, and he is always working everything out for my good. And you just pivot to the whatevers. Pivot away from what you don't have and pivot to what you do have. Pivot from what is broke and pivot to the blessing giver. Practice the pivot. Practice the petition. And then the last thing is this. Practice the present. Practice the present. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, my biggest struggle, I feel like every single day, is just being present in the moment. You know, like, I think this is one of our biggest struggles with my generation. I'm a millennial, by the way. Barely. But I'm hanging on. I'm still wearing skinny jeans. I'm hanging on, baby. But I think one of my generation's biggest struggles, and maybe you would identify with this, even if you're outside of my generation, is I feel like all day long, we're just stuck looking at this. We're looking at everybody else's moments. We're looking at everybody else's highlight reels. And we're thinking, oh, I didn't know that they were all going to dinner together tonight. Nobody invited us. I didn't know that, you know, I didn't know that their family was at Disney World. Okay, our family's at the grocery store. I didn't know that they drove a Toyota Tacoma. I don't drive a Toyota Tacoma. And all day long, we're just looking at this. And let me just tell you, this at 36 years old has become my new hot dog. All day long. And we think, if my crew was just friends with their crew, if like our family could just go to Disney, if I could just drive a Tacoma, please Jesus, then I will be happy. I will be content. And I wonder if God wants to remind somebody, probably just myself, that if you can't find contentment in this season, you won't find it in the next season. Contentment isn't in the next, it's in the now. And maybe you're in a rough season right now, but so was Paul. And listen, Paul is, he's a person. He's not like super Paul. He puts his pants on like everybody else, except he's wearing prison pants. He's just a normal person. But somehow, in prison, he is presently in prison, and he is still content. How? Well, I think he said it in the verse we already read, in verse 9. Let's start, or end where we started. He says, whatever you have learned, or received, or heard from me, or seen in me, put it into practice. Practice the petition. Practice the pivot, and practice being present. And what will happen? The God of peace will be with you. Okay, that was rough, okay? If we practice these things, what will happen? The God of peace will be with you. Somehow, the guy in prison is promising us peace. How? By practicing. And if we practice these things, the God of peace will be with us. Guys, he's with us. Ed, he's with you, man. Back row, okay, back row. Sometimes you get like, you know, did you come in late? Sometimes you get like looked down and listen, no, he is with you all. He is with you guys in the lobby. Okay, if you're watching online, he is with us. Guys, what is contentment? It's realizing that no matter what you feel, God is with us. His peace is with us. And if you're going to kind of like, you know, fade now, listen, I've spent this whole series just trying to remind us that the simple blessing that we have isn't stuff. It's that God is with us. His peace is with us. He is present with us. And that is the greatest blessing ever right there, that God is with us. And if you're like me, you've probably been feeling like you've been chasing contentment. But I don't think you're the only one who's been doing the chasing. Maybe you feel like you've been chasing contentment in a relationship or a job or in how you look or in a post-church donut. Come on, somebody. But I don't think you're the only one who's been doing the chasing. I believe that God has spent a lifetime chasing you. I believe that God has spent a lifetime chasing you. And we'll put this on the screen. You may think you've been chasing contentment, but contentment has been chasing you. And his name is Jesus. And if you've been wondering, what is my whatever? I don't know what my whatever is. Jesus is your whatever. He is whatever you need when you don't feel like you have whatever it is you need. Because God is good and he is with us. God is good and he is with us. God is good and he is with us. Just say that with me, church. God is good and he is with us. God is good and he is with us. Guys, he is contentment. And maybe you feel like you've been chasing contentment, but maybe contentment has been chasing you. And that feeling of I'm missing out, man, that's the blessing thief. But the blessing giver, guys, he is with us. And how many of you know that that is the greatest blessing of all time? It's the greatest. So let me pray for you guys. Maybe you're here and you didn't realize that God has been chasing you. Maybe you've been chasing all these different things, and maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never decided that, hey, I want to follow him in my life. I want to find my contentment in him and not in all this stuff that I've tried, and it's not really gotten me there. And maybe I've been happy for a little bit, but I've never really fully felt content. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, let me just tell you, there's a room full of people who that's where we find our contentment in. And that doesn't mean our life is perfect. Sometimes our engines do blow. Sometimes things don't work. But we always have God that we can pivot to. And so if you want to accept Jesus, if you never accepted Jesus and you're like, look, I'm looking for my whatever. I believe Jesus is that whatever. And so if you would just, no one's looking around, but if you just want to raise your hand to say, hey, that's what I want to do. I want to give Jesus my life. I want to find my contentment in him. You can do that right now where everybody's hand or everybody's eyes are down. No one's looking. I see those hands. Anybody else want to raise your hand and say, I want to give my life to Jesus? See you guys. All right, let's everybody keep your eyes closed. We're going to say this prayer together. And if you were one of the four or five who just raised your hand, say this out loud. And if you're a Jesus follower, you say this with me as well. Dear Jesus, I've been chasing contentment at different places, in different things. But today, Jesus, I'm choosing to chase you. I'm choosing to find my contentment in you. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and I believe you died for my sins on a cross, and you were put in a grave, but you walked out of that grave alive to prove that you can forgive us of our sins. I accept that forgiveness, and I find my contentment in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, I don't know, four or five people raised their hands to that and gave their life to Jesus in that moment, and I just think we need to celebrate that.